It is to get to preach out and to speak for others, but praise the Lord, amen. The message today for the tape room is consider the goodness of God. And I had to consider some things that God has already taken care of for me, then that was just in that song, amen. I mean, you know, I just thank God that I know there's going to come a day. He's already defeated all the foes that really matter in this life, amen? And there's some things he's left me to battle and things I can deal with, but boy, all the big ones he's already taken out of the way. He owns the keys of death and hell. And I love the book. It says, and the last foe that'll be cast is going to be death, amen? And so all the things that we lay up and worry about and get stirred up about, if we're not careful, we need to just to say, realize that God has got it all handled. He's already put it all under his feet, and all he's waiting on is timing right now, amen? And his timing is always right. You know, sometimes we don't like his timing. Amen? We want to set our clock by our own watch, and we want God to synchronize with us. When most of the Christian life is us getting synchronized with God. Amen? What a blessing it is, again, to have the Bible and to be able to worship God in truth and to know Him. And again, I want to ask you this as we get ready to pray before we read the Scripture today. You know, we are supposed to worship God in truth, but also in spirit. And I don't know where you're at and what's going on this week, but if we're not careful, sometimes we'll carry all the cares of the flesh in this building with us this morning. And instead of turning ourselves over to have a spiritual time together and worship God in spirit, we'll be thinking fleshly thoughts. And we'll have fleshly worries, and we'll have all those things. And so if you would, while I pray, you pray. And ask God to help you worship in spirit the best way that you know how, or the best way He can help you. Because there's a Holy Spirit, if you're saved this morning, that resides inside of you. And He desperately wants to do a work today and bring a message to your heart and to your life that could help you and could change you if you'll let Him this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, I surrender again. As Your messenger boy, just to deliver the unsearchable riches of God, Lord, I know that I can't go into the hearts, but I know the Spirit of God can go throughout this place and do a work that I can't do. He can take Your word, He can take Your truth, and He can take it into the spirit of man, and He can do a work and change people from the inside out. So God, I pray, I know You're in the people changing business, and God, I pray this morning You would do a work. If there's someone in this building that does not know that heaven is their home, they've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would draw them to accept Your Son today. God, I pray, the Spirit of God, that You'd go and work in the lives of Christians. Lord, help us to be more like You because of what is preached today, Lord, the message that You've laid on my heart. I pray that this simple truth, Lord, that You let me preach it, get me out of the way. Hide me behind Your cross. I pray in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Luke chapter number 12 this morning, we'll read much of the Scripture. I'm going to try to be aware of the time, but the time is already aware of me. And it's already late, so we need to read on. And I want to, again, the title is Consider the Goodness of God. It's springtime. It's not hard to consider how good God is when things were dead and He makes them alive again. All around us in nature, and boy, I just am reminded that once I was dead, but now I live in Jesus Christ. I was dead unto the spiritual things of this life, and I didn't, listen, I was religious. I growed up in church. You know what that means? I aged up in the church. Amen. I came up through things and I knew about God, but I'm just telling you, there was a big switch and a light that came on when Jesus sent His Holy Spirit to come in and live in me. Amen. When I called upon Him as my Savior, and it changed some things about me, and life sprang forth, and there was a newness, and religion that was dead and crusty and old, and it had step by step by step all of a sudden became new to me. It made sense to me. God shone a light on it that all of a sudden now this wasn't some drudgery or something I did to check off a box for God, but all of a sudden now I came to meet with Him on a Sunday morning. That we came together and we worship together in spirit. I don't know if you came to worship in spirit today, and that isn't even the message, but I'm about to take a lap and just tell you. I thank God when you come into a building where people came to worship God together in spirit, it's a different place. It's not like other places that are dead in their religion and they're checking a box and they just came to hear their sermonette, to go smoke their cigarettes out in the parking lot when they were done. Hey, they were a different people. They were a peculiar people that came together and knit together, sat in the place and heard a message that wasn't just for the congregation, but was for them individually in the Spirit of God in that place. Here in the scripture, Jesus is doing that. He's preaching to a company of people. I wish you'd look at the verse in verse 13, and I want you to set to the context. It's not what I'm preaching on, but I think to be able to really get what God is saying, we got to know the context of the passage. And he says in verse 13 of chapter 12, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge over or a divider over you?" This is the God of the universe who will set judge over every man's soul because of what he did on Calvary. He said, that's not my lane. That's not where I'm judging. You know, if we're not careful, everything will be about this life. And listen, when I got born again into God's family, I got an inheritance on high that's something. But listen, I'm so thankful I don't have to divide it with the brethren. He is mine and he's yours. Listen, you know, one of the things that'll mess up so many people, when somebody passes away, everybody's got to figure out who gets the stuff. If there ever was a big argument, listen, you know what's going on in the Middle East today that's shaking us all up, and we think Jesus is about to come back because he is? It's family problems. Who gets Abraham's stuff? They've been fighting over it for generations, and they'll continue to do so until Jesus comes and sets it all right. But folks, I'm telling you, somebody asked the question and Jesus answered it. Listen, folks, you know, he wants all of those folks in the Middle East to be born again into his family and not worry about Abraham and his inheritance. He wants them to get in on the inheritance we have in the family of God. Now listen, God's not getting rid of Abraham's inheritance. And if you're in religion today, don't be thinking that the church has taken Abraham's inheritance. Don't get silly. That's Reformed theology. That's wrong. Abraham and Israel, they own the land and they will for eternity. Every place that Abraham put the sole of his foot will they own, and they will own through eternity. Amen. Just believe the book. It'll always steer you right. Amen. But then in verse 15, after he said, you realize the context, Jesus always taught best, because sometimes when we're direct with people, they don't get it. But when we tell a story and try to put it in perspective for them, sometimes then it'll hit home. Do you know a good illustration? You know, preachers throughout the ages talk basically, you know, good is a picture into the soul of man, or really into the truth in the Word of God. And so Jesus gives an illustration in the Bible, and it's recorded for us. He says in verse 15, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of the covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenteous." Do you know that that's just how it is? Let me just tell you, you know, farmers, I'm serving God and I'm doing right. And man, the guy that's living like the world and living it up for the world, he's doing better than I am. The Bible just still says, it's still truth. It rains on the just and the unjust. And Jesus gives a picture here and says, this man who didn't really know God, he had a pretty good bumper crop that year. So it happened back in Bible times and it still happens today. And he says in verse 17, "And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room wherefore to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will put down my barns and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God, so is he, the Bible says, that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich. You see, Jesus gives a parable. He said, y'all are bickering about who's going to get what. He says, but you're going in the ground just like the person you're getting the inheritance from. And instead of planning on what you're going to do with what you got, maybe you ought to be planning for the future of where your soul is going to spend eternity. Maybe, and listen, in the end, I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead of you. I know you don't like this. You're waiting for the coy thing, but this is a familiar passage of Scripture. In Matthew, it's quoted this way. When he full circle comes to the end about what true treasure is, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Folks, that's the end of the chapter and the end of the truth and where he's headed. It says a little different in Luke chapter 12, but I just want you to see here, he's talking about treasure. And see, he's going to talk about earthly treasure. And if we're not careful, we'll say to our own soul, "I've laid up. I'll tear my barns down and I'll build bigger." Now you say, "Well, what do you think?" Listen now, I could be one of those TV preachers. And I could tell you what this really means is you're supposed to not tear your barns down, fill them up, and give the rest of it away to the poor and the needy, or to me, which I'm both. Amen? And so, again, I mean, we could go through that, right? And if we're not careful, that's where we find people preaching and talking about those things, and that's not what this is talking about. He goes on and tells them here, he says, listen, you've got all these earthly riches and you're worried about how you're God dividing them up, but you don't realize that you're mortal, that you're not going to make it forever. We spend so much time planning for retirement when the retirement in heaven is going to be much longer than what is going to be here. And sometimes, I mean, even this, I've read so many articles recently about the longevity of people and how much longer they're living and how much it takes to lay up and be ready for retirement. But folks, listen, if you think you're going to live 30 years or 40 years after your retirement, check out this. When you go to heaven, you're going to retire forever. All right? So when we start putting it in perspective, what have you laid up in heaven? Have you spent your entire life building barns and putting things up and taking things down and storing up on this side for the little piece of time that you have that we call the golden years to spend it on you? Or where are you laying up? You young people, if you were smart, you'd get that thing done in your 20s. Do you know everybody that's got gray hair in here, what they wish? They wish they worked a job and put money away from 20 to 28 and never had to put money away again because their money was making money for them and they could do whatever they wanted with the rest of the money they brought in the rest of their life because it will outmake the rest of the money. But most of us really don't consider the end until we start feeling mortal, you know, outside of the 20s. When we start realizing, this thing ain't going to last forever. I'm not going to be able to do in the next decade what I did in the last. See, the problem is sometimes we don't consider the way God considers. And if not, if we're not careful, instead of even talking to God about it or searching his word for the truth, we'll just talk to ourselves like this man did. He just had a conversation with himself of what he was going to do, about how he was going to change up his money. Do you know, when we become servants of God and God buys us back, we're bought with a price. We're his. We don't have to make decisions on our own. We can go to our Heavenly Father. The Bible even puts it this way. I can come boldly before the throne of grace. I wish I could share all the details, but boy, I mean, yesterday I got a bomb dropped on me of the way I thought things were going to go. You know what I decided? It ain't my problem. That's God's problem. You say, yep. I said, I thought two or three more hairs were going to fall out if I started stressing over that. And I thought, it ain't my problem to start with. I'm just God's servant. I went to God and said, God, I can't wait to figure out how you're going to take care of that. Because I could sweat it. I could lose sleep. I could just get worried to death about how this is all going to work out when I realize he's got it all worked out. And I could wind myself up talking to myself about things. Instead, I just decided, God, you know what? I'm going to ask you this once. Take care of this for me. I'm going to ask you, and then I cannot wait until you take care of it. I'm just going to tell you this morning, if you're not careful, You'll be like this man. And you'll isolate yourself, even if you know God. And you'll talk to yourself about things. Do you know what people talking to themselves, you know what people think about them? They're crazy. But peculiar people are talking, but they ain't talking to themselves. They're talking to heaven. John R. Rice used to say, his secretary said, I could never tell whether he was talking to me or he was talking to God. Because he got God on the phone in the morning and he never hung up. He just kept praying all day long. We think praying without ceasing is we got to be on our knees and wear our knees out. No, man, we ought to be wearing our knees out in busyness for the Lord and keeping God, talking to him all the time in a prayerful meditation for what he's told us in the scripture in the morning and walking with him. That's what a walk with God truly is. Being busy about the things, our family and our homes and our church and our ministry and laying up treasures for heaven, but also still keeping God on the line all the time, praying. You know, folks, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm traveling. I'm not always home with my family. But I'm always, I tell you, they're always on my heart and my mind. Sunday, I wasn't here, but I was preaching and praying for this place and my people. Listen, I'm just telling you all the time with things. But God tells us, he says, now this is how we really got to deal with this. He says in verse 21, so is he, that's the man who talks to himself and decides what he's going to do with his life. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Do you know that the unsearchable riches are found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Here in verse 22, he says, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. If we as a church today could get it through our thick skulls that the body, the life, he didn't say life, he says the life. That means talking to believers. He's talking to his disciples. He's the one, this is the same Jesus who said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life is more than meat. I like meat. I speak much of chicken. If I was allergic to chicken, it'd be a bad life. How would a Baptist man feel if he was allergic to the Baptist bird? You know, I'm up Maryland, so my favorite baseball team is the Orioles. You know, there's a lot of birds in baseball, you know, Cardinals, all these different things. But if our team, Baptist team, it's a big chicken. Amen. Big old rooster. You know, like that, you know. Not just crowing, but I mean, he's good fried too, man. Amen. You can't eat an Oriole. Well, you could, but it ain't much to him. But he says the life. You know, the life is more than meat. We talk about that. People can't wait to go out and eat steak. They can't wait to get out and eat a piece of salmon. Up in the north, they were talking about all the seafood up there. Man, lobster, and ain't got nothing on your crabs down there below. And I thought, life is more than meat, bless God. Hey, it is. And if we're not careful, we're constantly thinking about the next thing we'll eat. And I mean, just think about you folks. When you get into the retirement age and you don't have to worry about too much, really what you're thinking about is, where am I going to lunch? What am I going to have for dinner? I mean, I can't tell you how many times, Dr. Pitts ain't in here, but Dr. Pitts, I know you're listening, and I can't tell you how many times most of the conversation he has with Miss Julie is, what's for dinner? Life is more than meat. And in the body, this body is more than raiment. You know, if we'll boil this body down, most of us, you know, I'm looking at you, and most of you look real good. You dress yourself up and comb both your hairs like I did before you come up in here. And I mean, and you might even brush your teeth before you came this morning because you cared about what the body looked like before you left. Listen, think about the spring and how we get dressed to come to church on an Easter Sunday morning. Everybody's got to have a brand new dress, got to have a brand new tie for a preacher. You know, you ain't getting to get a suit, but you got to have a new tie, right? I wear my yellow jacket. For all of us, we wear something. We plan what we were putting on the body. Wouldn't it be great if we considered the things of God and what we're laying up in store on the other side of heaven, if we considered that as much as what we put on? if we considered that as much as, think about if we just considered God as much as we consider about what we're going to eat for the week. When we go to the grocery store and we make a list, how many of us sat down and made a list of what we're going to do for God this week? How many times we're going to pray and how many times we're going to read our Bible and what verses we're going to memorize? Well, if we just put as much effort into the things of God as we did our grocery list, it would change the world. But God doesn't tell us all that. He doesn't rebuke us in the scripture. He says, consider the ravens. He says, I want you to consider my goodness. He says, take no thought for your life. Now, for all of us, that is so contrary. Everybody in here is planning. Most of you, if you didn't lock down and really get a spiritual mind, you're thinking about what you're going to do when you leave here. And most of you, it's about meat. But for others of you that are past that point, it's not just what you're going to eat when you leave here. It's about all the things of this week and all the things that are weighing on you and all the things that you got to think about. And God says, think about my creation. The ravens here, look at what he says. Consider the ravens in verse 24. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls of the air? Boy, you're better than any chicken. And the chickens wait for my wife to come out and throw out the grain in the backyard. And them and every other bird in our neighborhood come to visit us. Because they want to eat. Do you know, none of them put that corn in the ground. None of them plowed it and prepared it. None of them harvested it. But God took care of them. And as soon as they needed it, and they were looking for a meal, and they were flying over the parson's house and said, looky there. There's a spring mix. My wife told me, she said, this is a snack for the chickens. And she bought this bag. I said, is that amount correct? Because I know what I feed me. And I can't believe old dried up, nasty maggot worm looking things in this bag. But them chickens love them things. I couldn't believe what we spent on that. I said, there ain't a chicken in the backyard that's worth what that bag is right there. Amen. But we don't have just laying chickens. We got pet chickens. Right? Hey, don't laugh. I'm just telling you, you know, all of us in here, we got pet things too, don't we? We got people, listen, we got things we're worried about taking care of instead of realizing that we're God's. That he loves us. And when we live this life, he has got things under control. Instead of taking thought for all the things that we take care of, why don't we think about the one that's taking care of us? Why not ponder how good he is? Boy, instead of thinking about how bad we got it, think about how good our God is. It'd change our world. It'd change our attitude. It would change our town. It would make us a better witness for him for sure. Let me tell you about the goodness of God. The ravens. Then he goes on. He jumps from consider the ravens. Why don't we consider his goodness and then consider the lilies? Look at what he says here. He says, we'll go back to verse 25. He says, and which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be able to do that those things that in the least, he said, if you can't even add a little bit of height to yourself, then why do you take thought for the rest? If you can't even think yourself one inch higher. Now, there are people that preach you can think yourself happy. But I ain't never heard any of them say you think yourself taller. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, and it's just as ludicrous one of the other ways there. He says, if then. That, you know, I always try to circle ifs in my Bible. Because God's trying to teach me something. Sometimes I'll find a promise and sometimes I'll realize I shouldn't be thinking that way. My thoughts are messed up. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least. God says adding to your stature is the easiest thing he's ever had to do. Grow you another inch taller. Now, I don't know about you, but I felt like it was the hardest thing I ever had. My family was all short. Some of y'all are just blessed with height, right? And you bang your forehead on the door frames and stuff in places. And you don't think it's a blessing. You know, you think it'd be a blessing to be shorter. All the short people think it'd be a blessing to be taller. And God made you just the way you are. made you perfect. But he says in verse 27, he gets into the spring and he says, consider the lilies, how they grow, how they toil not. They spin not, and yet they say, I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, I want you to consider who's speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to you. And if there was anybody that had laid eyes on what Solomon wore, the blessing of Almighty God from heaven on the king that really, I mean, shined probably brightest out of all the kings of Israel was Solomon. The way he dressed, the way he carried himself in wisdom, because it was God-given. Richest king probably in the world of all time, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. This guy, he says, on a daily basis, Jesus says, the Creator God says, I dress the lilies on a daily basis better than Solomon ever wore, anything he ever wore. And sometimes we worry about what we're putting on and all those things, and we spend all our, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't dress nice, you shouldn't do that, but he says what the problem is, we consider all those things and we spend all our time on them when the person we really ought to be considering and putting our time into is God. Considering his word, considering his retirement, if you want to put it that way. That's where everything started here. Then he goes on and he says, if then God so clothed the grass, which is here today and gone tomorrow. You know, when we realize the grass, you know what God's doing, oh ye little faith? He's saying, he goes all the way back to where he began. There was a man that said, I was going to build big barns. He said to his soul, soul, I'll build some big barns and I'll keep all this and I can eat, drink, and lay back in ease because I got so much laid up. But God called him a fool because his soul would be required of him that way. Now listen, now when he's speaking to his disciples, he said, oh, ye of little faith. Because these are people not like the fool who didn't realize where he was headed. But he spoke to the disciples and he says, you know, you've accepted me. You know heaven's going to be your home. But why do you have such little faith? Now, I understand why the lost man doesn't trust me with meat. I understand why the lost man doesn't trust me with his dress. I understand why the lost man doesn't trust me with everything. But why don't you? If I clothe the raven, if I take care of the raven with meat, if I clothe the lilies, if I do all these things all around you, you can see on a natural basis, and I wouldn't take care of you. You, the ones that I sent my son to die on Calvary for and to pay your sin debt, to purchase you back unto myself, and I wouldn't take care of you. See, we have some things to consider, and all of it falls under God's goodness. He says, and how about this? Maybe you don't consider yourself. You say, I do believe God. I do trust him. I'm doing this, this, and this, or I've done this and this, and I don't consider myself, oh, ye of little faith. Well, how about this? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. You say, well, they're the same thing. I don't think so. We have a perfect Bible. He says, oh, ye of little faith. And then there's folks, you know, when you, I'm going to trust God anyway, but I don't think he can do it. I'm going to give to this thing, but I don't think they can hit the gauge. Folks, I'm just telling you, we ought not be of a doubtful mind. If anybody ought to believe God and just trust him for his goodness and his grace and say, God's got it handled. If we can trust him with our eternal destiny, why can't we trust him with meat and clothing and where we're going to live and how we're going to act on a regular basis? How come we have to spend all our time worrying about the little things that God says he knows we have need of? Look at what he says in the next verse. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. That's how the world acts. That's how the lost man acts. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can I just tell you today, let me give you a Bible example of two things that he's teaching here. Meat and raiment. Take no thought for your life. There's a bunch of people called the nation of Israel. And they followed a man named Moses out into the wilderness where they could not plant and they could not sow. And bread and meat fell from heaven on a daily basis to feed them because their God was good. Do you know they had no stores to buy clothes? They had no way to reap cotton and all the things that they needed to make the clothing. But God just miraculously made their clothes so they did not wear out. It was like washing them in Tide. They never lost their color. They never unwound and came apart. I mean, they just on a daily basis, the clothes went into the desert. Listen, I've got some good clothes. I'm a man. So when I get a piece of clothes, it's with me for a lifetime. Amen. It's not one wear and it's gone. Right? I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it and wear it and wear it till I wear it out. But I'm just going to tell you, they walked into the desert and 40 years later, they all walked out and the clothes looked brand new, like they went in. Their shoes didn't wear out. The sandals, listen, if you know anything about leather, 40 years is a good amount of time span. If you don't care and care and care for leather, it ain't going to last 40 years. They walked in with shoes and they walked out with them same shoes. You see, if God could take care of his nation, Israel, that way, you know God loves you and me the same way he loves them. He promised his care to them, and he promised his care to us. And he doesn't say, he's saying, take no thought for these things to his disciples, but he realizes that the world has need for them. Do you know if you set your sights on the things of God and his righteousness, then all the things that you need, the Bible says, will be added to you. It's a promise for every one of us that we forget. Sometimes we look at the economy and say, whoa, I better be careful. When we forget the principle that we could never outgive God. David said it best when he said, when I was young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. We got to again remember that we're peculiar people. And we need to consider the goodness of God. We could never outgive him. We could never outgo him. We could never do anything as long as it's in his will and in his way. But I don't know about you, but I desire to stand before the Lord Jesus and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And my heart, when I sat and I prayed and I was about preaching this, I really felt like in the midst of this, you know, sometimes we think God's going to say, you were a real disappointment. We think he's going to say something like that, but I really believe reading the scripture, the statement that comes over, if you don't hear well done, I believe you'll hear this. Oh, ye of little faith. I wanted to do so much more in and through your life. You just wouldn't trust me to do it. God's not going to have a big rebuke. He saved you. He's going to have you in heaven. And many of us, he's given us many, many opportunities through the work of God to stretch ourselves in faith to do something and receive a reward when we get to heaven. And I just today consider the goodness of God and realize I want to hear well done, not a oh ye of little faith. If you're here this morning, if you're not saved, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to stand before him at that time. You're not going to get to hear a well done or a oh ye of little faith. You're going to hear depart from me, I never knew you. Because you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's very easy to get that. He died on Calvary and he wants that. Consider the goodness of God that he sent his only son to the cross to die in your place. And he rose again to purchase you back into himself. And today you can call upon him and enter into a relationship of salvation with Jesus Christ because of what he did, not because of what you did. And accept him as your Savior. And I implore you to do that today. But if you're a Christian here today, I just want to tell you, when we see all the things that are going on in the world, and Iran and Iraq and Israel and everybody starting to pile up, if you're not careful in a Christian life, the way the world acts is they hunker down. and they act scared to death, and they're looking to see what's going to happen, when we need to consider the goodness of God. And we realize that Jesus is mounting and getting ready to come back in His glory to rapture us out of this place. And it's not time for us to pull back. It's time for us to lean in. It's time for us to trust God and consider His goodness again and go forward, because, listen, He's being held back by the last soul that will come to Jesus Christ through our witness. And if we draw back our witness and have little faith, I want to go out with big faith. I want to go out with tracks blazing. I want to go out with soul winning, blazing. I want to go out with buses. I want to be raptured out of a bus. Folks, I'm just telling you, sometimes we miss the fact, if we're not careful, we'll hunker down. We are not of those that drive out and wait for God on a mountain. We drive in the middle of town and witness for all we're worth until Jesus comes. That's who we are. Let's not pull back in this hour, this late hour. Let's lean in. Let's do all we can. Let's give all we can. Let's go all we can until Jesus comes. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg you to accept Him as your Savior. It's the only way that you'll see heaven. It's the only way that you'll miss hell. It's the only way that you'll be able to hear one day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't know that you're saved, you don't know that heaven would be your home, would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. I'd like for you to pray that I'd know that." Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Is there one across anywhere in the auditorium, in the balcony, anywhere, that slipped their hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to know that." All right, I don't see any hands. That means the majority of us are saved in here. How many of you say, "Preacher, the message helped me today. I realize the late hour we're in, and I want to hear, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant.'" Would you slip your hand up? Say, "Preacher, I want to hear that." Amen. Then listen, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to consider this morning that'll change the things that you feel like you need to step up for God in? Why don't you talk to Him about it today? I'd love for you to come down and be altered at the altar, but maybe you need to talk to Him in the pew. But all of us ought to say, "God, help increase my faith. Help me trust You. Help me to consider Your goodness when I go forward in faith." I want you to do that. I'm going to meet in the front. If you're here and you couldn't raise your hand for salvation, but you want to be saved, I'll meet you in the front. If you're a Christian, why don't you step out and come? Let's all stand to our feet as Brother Jeremiah leads us in a song. You step out and come.